John chapter 14, look if you would, starting at verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. It says, Jesus is talking here and he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, before we go any further, notice he didn't say, if you want to be saved, keep the commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, again, you know, sometimes you're reading, you just catch things. Amen? Notice it said, I will send you another comforter, and then he says, I will come to you. How many did you catch that? Amen? Do you realize it's the Holy Spirit of God within you today, but it's also Christ in you, the hope of glory? Amen. Amen. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that there is a Trinity. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again today, Lord, for the privilege of reading your Bible and studying your Bible and preaching it and teaching it. And Lord, what we need to do, Lord, is do what it tells us to do. And I'm thankful for the Word of God, Lord. I'm thankful that you left us the Word of God that we can learn about you and know you better, learn how to live, know what pleases you. But Lord, help us to understand that it does us no good if we won't read it. And Lord, help us today as you speak to us through your Word, Lord. Help us to see where we are in light of you. See where we are in our lives as Christians today, Lord, and not get mad because something may be being preached about that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, but rather than that, Lord, help us to understand that it's your word to us and it's you speaking to us and that we need to take care of whatever it is in our lives this morning that so that we can please you. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's not saved, Father, I pray they'll call upon you today, Lord, for salvation. I pray that they, in their hearts, Lord, they will believe that you died on that cross for their sins, that you were buried and you rose again the third day. Lord, I pray that they'll believe it before it's too late. Lord, we know that when death comes knocking at the door, Lord, it's too late once a person dies. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, that everybody leaves this church as saved children of God. And Lord, that the people that leave this church that are saved, Lord, will leave right with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in all the scripture, I don't know that there's a verse that gives more detailed statements within that verse as to how for us to live a life that pleases the Lord. When you read this passage of Scripture here and you read what Jesus tells these folks, it's telling you basically how you are to live in a nutshell, how you are to live to please the Lord. And really, if you think about it, it comes right down to obedience. That's what it all comes down to. Either you're going to obey God or you're not. Do you realize that that's where your salvation, that's what it comes down to with your salvation as well. You are to obey the gospel. Amen? And if you do not obey the gospel, then it is disobedience. So, listen, you can't please the Lord today if you're not saved. Why? You're an enemy of God. You're not a child of God. You're not his child. You become a child of God the moment you get saved by obeying the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. Once you're saved, you're still supposed to obey God. Amen? I mean, that you can't please somebody if you're not obeying them. Listen, if my kids, I say, okay, I want you to do this, and they don't do it, that and they're disobedient, that does not make me happy. Amen. In other words, when I say clean your room and come home and the room isn't clean, I don't go there and say, oh, good, you didn't clean your room. It's not the way it is. Listen, whenever they disobey, we're not happy about it. And whenever we disobey, God's not happy about it. And so how, you say, well, how are we supposed to live? We're supposed to live in a way that makes God happy. We are to live in ways that please the Lord. We are to live in ways that honor the Lord. Over in Revelation chapter 4, it says, you were made for His pleasure. Amen? Now, you can't please the Lord if you're not being obedient. So really, that's what this whole passage here is about, is being obedient. It's talking about how to live the life that you're supposed to live, and it begins with obedience, and it's all about obedience. Like the song goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me tell you what's wrong with a lot of, with the average Christians today, is that a lot of them are just disobedient. They're not living the way that Bible says that they're supposed to be living. The same thing is wrong with a lot of churches today. They have a lot of people that aren't being obedient. They're not doing what the Bible tells them to do. You know why a lot of people today are not happy in their faith? Because they're living lives that are disobedient to the Lord. And the Lord's not going to get, you know that feeling whenever you're right with the Lord, you just feel, you know, the scripture says, my cup runneth over. How many of you know what that's talking about? When you're right with the Lord and it feels like you just want to go, amen. You know, you just feel on the inside, it's just that joy, that peace, it just bubbles over. And you just want to go out and just praise the Lord. Don't you love that feeling? Amen. I mean, isn't that great? Now listen, I understand it. It's not about feeling. I understand that. Your salvation is not about feeling. None of it's about feeling. If it were, we're in a world of hurt. Amen? Because I'll just tell you right now that not every day I wake up do I feel saved, but that Bible says I am.
That's right.
And so it really doesn't matter how you feel, but I do enjoy the feeling of being right with God. Amen. That peace, that joy, and certainly that comes with being obedient. You can't be disobedient and be right with God. You can't be disobedient and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can't be disobedient and expect God to be happy about it. And so there are a lot of people today that aren't happy in their faith. They're saved, but they're more enduring their salvation rather than enjoying their salvation. And that's simply because they're not being obedient. Somewhere in their life, they're not being obedient. There's a place in their life somewhere where they're being disobedient to the Lord. And there are a lot of Christians that are facing that today. Maybe you're facing that today. Maybe you're right with God in a lot of different areas, but there's that one area that you're just not right. And you, in your mind, think it's okay because I'm right in so many other areas that it's okay if I'm wrong in this one. No, it's not. It is not. The Lord's not going to be happy about it. If you're being disobedient to the Lord, even in one area, He's not going to be happy about it. And that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you're not going to sin from time to time. We all do that. The problem is when the Lord tells you that there's a problem in your life, and you know that there's a problem in your life, but you sit there and you refuse to do anything about it. Hey, listen. If I tell my kids to clean their room, and I come home and they're not and it's not clean, I'll say, okay, why didn't you clean it? Well, I forgot. Okay, go and clean it now. And they run and clean it? Fine. Amen? They're cleaning the room. Problem is, I say, okay, you didn't clean your room? No. We'll clean it now. And he goes, no. We got a problem. A big problem. Amen? Not mine, his. But that's what we do with God. You see, we have those areas where we know we're not right. I hate to keep on using my kids, so I'll use yours. If you're a kid right now and you say, I want you to clean your room, and you come home and the room isn't clean, and they say, yes, but I cleaned the kitchen and I washed the car and I cleaned the garage and I did all these things. By the way, my oldest son used to do that to me. He hated picking weeds out of the garden. I mean, he hated it. It was like a rusty fork in his back. He could not stand to pick weeds in that garden. And so I'd tell him, before I go to work, I'd say, now listen, Cody, you need to go out there, and I know he's going to listen to this, so he ought to appreciate it. I say, I want you to go out there and pick the weeds today, and I want them done by the time I get home. And he goes, oh, Dad. And I was like, okay, it's got to be done by the time I get home. Well, I come home, and I go in that backyard, and I mean to tell you, lawn's mowed. The back porch is swept off and clean. I mean, everything that I didn't tell him to do, he did, and I did a great job. And I'd say, well, did you pick the weeds in the garden? No. I said, well, why not? He goes, well, I was cleaning all this other stuff. I said, yeah, but I didn't tell you to clean all those other things. I told you to pick the weeds in the garden. Well, I thought you'd be happy because I did all these things for you. See? And there for a little bit, he actually had me feeling guilty. Okay? But the bottom line is this. He didn't do what I tell him to do in that one area. Do you think I was happy about it? No. I told you I was going to use your kids, but somehow or another I ended up using mine anyway. I wasn't happy about it. And I tell you, if you have an area in your life that you're not right with God, it doesn't matter how good you do in all the other things. He said get right there. Amen? Amen. He showed you in Scripture something's wrong. You got to take care of it. And he showed you specifically what it is. And it doesn't matter that, okay, well, God showed me I've got this problem in my life. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll give more. Or I'll go and help out the self, you know, give to the poor or give to the food bank and I'll do all these things and God will accept it. No, he won't. It's still disobedience. And you're never going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're never going to please God. And you're never going to get his blessings if you continue to be wrong in that one area that he showed you about. It's disobedience. And that's exactly what this passage here is talking about. It's talking about disobedience. We as Christians are to be obedient. Martin Luther said this. He said, we're not saved by faith and works, but we are saved by faith that works. In other words, our faith is supposed to be real. Real. And there are so many things that hinge on our obedience to God. And three things I want you to learn this morning in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice what drives us to be obedient. As Christians, what drives us? I mean, after all, we're saved, we're going to heaven, right? Then what in the world would drive you to be obedient? Well, obviously, one thing would be your love for Christ. Yes. Amen? There in John chapter 14, look at verse 15. It says this. And he pretty much tells you the way it is. If you love me, keep my commandments. Again, it didn't say to be saved, keep my commandments, because we know that works don't save anybody. Amen? You're not going to be saved by works. You can do works from now on, and you're still a sinner. You're still come short of the glory of God. And if you don't get saved, if you don't trust in Jesus Christ and put on his righteousness, it doesn't matter. What you're going to do is you're going to work your way to hell is what you're going to do. Because works won't get you saved. And you can do all the things you want to. You can join the church. You can be baptized. You can give to people. It doesn't matter because you're not comparing yourself to somebody else. You're comparing yourself to that person who is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. And even though you may do a lot of works, you're still a sinner. And there's a wage to pay, and your works will not pay the wage for that sin. There's only one thing, and that is what? Death. Amen? So works are not going to save you, but he does say here, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That is the main motive. That's the motive for us being obedient. Our love for God. If we love him, we'll do what he tells us to do. Now, listen. A person today says, well, I love the Lord, but yet he's out there living like the world. That's a strange thing. That's not what the Lord says. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't tell me how much you love the Lord if you're not obeying him. The Lord's not impressed with that kind of love. Don't tell me how many verses you know. Don't tell me how often you attend church. God, listen. God's interested in you obeying him. If God says, I want you to take care of this problem and you don't do it, don't tell me how much you love the Lord. You know why I do the things I do for my wife? Because I love her. That's right. Amen. I don't like taking out the trash at 10 o'clock at night. I don't like getting up in the morning when my dog starts whimpering at 4 like she did this morning to take her out. But I figure it's either me or my wife. So I get up. There's a reason I do that. If I didn't love my wife, I'd say, you take out the dog. Amen. But I do it because I love her. Hey, listen, the Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Why? I thought enough of you to die on the cross for you.
Amen, brother.
He loved us first. And when he was sent to die on the cross, he did it willingly. They didn't have to take his hand and force him down on the cross. He laid him there. Why? Because he loved you and me. And he still loves us. And don't you think when he says, I need you to take care of this in your life, and I need you to take care of that in your life, and really you need to do these things because it's better for you. So I'm telling you, you need to take care of those things. And that thing that you're, that sin that you're harboring right there, you need to confess that. And we say, no. Don't tell me how much you love the Lord then. What if he had that attitude on the cross? Then anybody in this room be saved. See, if you love the Lord, you're going to do what he tells you to do. And certainly that's a great motive. Our love for Christ. Now, turn if you would over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And Mark chapter 12 kind of tells us how we are to love the Lord. And I'll tell you something. Mark chapter 12 is probably one of the most humbling scriptures as you'll find in that whole Bible. You ever notice that whenever that book is perfect. The Bible's perfect. Amen. Word of God's perfect. And the Lord, what he does is he sets the standard high. Would you agree with that? I mean, Lord doesn't set the standard low. He sets the standard high. Why? Because that's his standard. He's perfect. And I've noticed something, that the things that he tells us to do, most of the time, in fact, well, just about all the time, it's impossible. How many of you ever noticed that? If you haven't noticed it, you're going to notice it right here. I'm going to show you. Mark chapter 12, look at verse 30. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." He says this. You're supposed to love me with everything. He says you're supposed to love him with all your heart. It's to be a heartfelt love. It's to be not supposed to be a superficial love. You know, Jesus talked about those people who acted like they loved him, but they didn't. When he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Let me ask you something this morning. Do you truly love the Lord? I mean, do you truly love him? We sing about love all the time. Even that this morning, when I think it was there in 22, we sung that song, "The Love of God." Listen to these words again. Listen to these words. "Could we with the ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky." Oh man, that's my favorite verse in the entire songbook right there. You know what it's telling you? You can't measure the love of God. We sing about the love of God all the time. We sing about loving the Lord. But you know, a lot of Christians that sing about it really don't love the Lord like they're supposed to. How do we know? Because they're being disobedient in their lives. They're not doing what the Lord told them to do. They think more of that sin they're harboring than they do the Lord. And they won't get right. But yet they'll come and they'll sing about the love of the Lord. We're supposed to love him with all of our heart. We're also supposed to love him with all of our soul. You say, what does that mean? To love him with all our soul. That means we're to love him with every part of our being. There's not supposed to be any area that where we say, "Lord, keep out of this area." In other words, I love you in all these areas, but not this one. We're supposed to love him with all of our soul. And then it says we're supposed to love him with all of our mind. You're to love God with all your mind. And the reason that some of us don't love the Lord is we don't study the Bible. The reason we don't study is because we don't love the Lord. Hey, listen, we should want to fill our minds with the things of, thinking of those things from above. We're supposed to fill our minds with the Word of God. We're supposed to learn more about the Lord. Don't you want to read God's love letter to you? That's what that Bible is. He's showing you that Bible, the price he paid for you. He's telling you how to live in order to honor him. Hey, he's even given you a lot of promises. How it's going to be for about 1,000 years from now for every believer in here. Amen? I know where I'm going to be 1,000 years from now. If the Lord tarries, I'll be ruling and reign with him on this earth. And if he tarries, if he don't tarry, then maybe in about 2,000 years, I'll be in heaven somewhere, new heaven, new earth. But that's the promises that God gave me. How am I going to know that if I don't read the Bible? How can I say I love him with all my mind when I don't even want to think about him and I don't even want to read the scriptures? That's how we're supposed to love the Lord. And then it says we're supposed to love him with all of our strength. And he's not just talking about physical strength. I mean, we should love him with our physical strength, but there's more than one kind of strength. There's emotional strength. There's financial strength. There's all kinds of abilities and talents that the Lord's given us. And we're supposed to love him with those things and do what he tells us to do with them. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I want to know, are you reading the Bible? Are you obeying it? Are you loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength? You say, I don't think it's possible. You're right, it's not. If I asked you this morning, everybody in here, do you love him that much? There's nobody in here who can raise your hand and say that. Nobody. Don't we tell you why? Because you're trying to love him under with your strength. Do you realize the Lord has never told you to do something that he did not give you the tools to do it? He's never told you to do something he didn't give you the tools to do it. Even when it comes down to loving him, you can't do it on your own. Can't you need him to do that too? Aren't we pathetic? We can't even do anything the Lord wants us to do. But the Lord in his grace not only tells us what to do and then he empowers us to do it. But we're so hard-headed sometimes that we think we can do it on our own. And we sit here and say, you know what, I love the Lord, or I try to love the Lord. That's the problem. You're trying to. But you can if you do it his way. And so, he loves us. He wants us to love him. Now, I will tell you this. God could have made us to where we have to love him. I mean, God can do anything. Amen? He could have made us where we had to love him. We have to obey him. He could have done that. But because God is who he is, he can also choose to do anything he wants to. And he chose to say, you know what, I'm going to make them, but it's up to them whether or not they love me with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. It's up to them. Why? God can do that. Amen? Now you got to get that, folks. God can do anything he wants to because he's God. He could have made it. How many of you ever, well, don't raise your hand. But how many of you know what a pet rock is? It's the silliest thing in the world. My dog actually has a pet rock, believe it or not. We got this rock out there, and she'll sit there and whimper, and she'll just play with that thing all day long. She'll freeze to death playing with that rock. But a pet rock, you know, we can have us a rock, and we can put eyeballs on it, and we put a mouth on it, and we can name it George. Amen? And you know what? That pet rock, if you lay that thing there beside your bed on your next to your lamp, I guarantee you that pet rock will never let you down. That pet rock will never lie to you. If you say, sit, that pet rock will obey every time. You say, no, you're being silly, Pastor. No, listen, the Lord could have made us like pet rocks, but he didn't. He didn't. He said this, when he made us, he says, you're made for my pleasure. Now, if he made us pet rocks, and that means every Christian in here has always pleased the Lord every single moment of their life, right? No. Guess what that means? That means you have to choose whether or not you're going to obey him or not. You're going to choose whether or not you're going to love him or not. We're not robots, folks. Listen, you know what God, you know, when you read that Bible, here's one of the things that just amazes me. You know when God made man, you know why he made man in his own image? Do you know why he made man and said, hey, listen, I'm gonna make him and I'm going to give him the choice to either love me or not love me, to obey me or not obey me, and I'm going to tell him, don't eat of that tree, and see what he does. And of course, the Lord knew what he was going to do, and he ate of the tree. But now he's given people the choice and said, now listen, you can either obey the gospel and be in heaven and be in Christ and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and be in the New Jerusalem, or you can not obey Jesus Christ and you could die and go to hell and be separated from God forever. Amen. And you think, well, that's a pretty easy choice. Well, yeah, but most people's going to choose hell. Go figure. But that's what most people are going to choose. You know what God wants? He wants people around Him forever that have chosen Him and want to be around Him. And those are His children. In the end, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be God and everybody who loved God and chose God. That's who it's going to be. Amen? Everybody in that Lamb's Book of Life will be those people that chose to be obedient to the Lord, that love the Lord, and God's going to be around those people that love Him forever. Amen. That's exactly what He wanted from the begin with. And so we are to love the Lord. And you say, well, what is it that drives this obedience that we're supposed to have? We're supposed to obey the Lord. What is it that drives that obedience? It is your love for the Lord this morning. Question, do you love the Lord? You say, well, if that's what drives our obedience, then what is the measure of the obedience? Well, the measure of the obedience is the Word of God. There in John chapter 14, look if you would at verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now drop down to verse 21. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, if you love him, that's the motivation for obeying. But how are you going to know what to obey? I mean, how are you going to know what to do that pleases him? Well, you've got to read your Bible. You've got to know what the Word of God says. You can't do what He wants you to do unless you know what He wants you to do. And so what you've got to do, you've got to get in the Word of God, and that is the measure of your obedience. In other words, it doesn't matter what somebody else says is obeying God or what somebody else says pleases God. That doesn't matter. You love the Lord, or you obey the Lord because you love Him, and you say, okay, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, then you have to read the Bible to find out what He wants you to do. But even sometimes that's like a disconnect. Because what happens is we say we love the Lord and then we read the Bible and it says, well, listen, you ought not be doing this right here. And you think, I do that all the time. And then you say, well, I believe the whole Bible, but I just don't know about that part right there. What does that mean anyway? I think I misinterpreted that. Come on. If it says it's wrong, then it's wrong. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what media says. It doesn't matter what the movie stars say. It doesn't matter what the sports figures say. If it is wrong, it is wrong. And if you're doing it, stop doing it, Christian. Because if you don't tell me how much you love the Lord. Why? If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. What does it say? It tells you right there it's wrong. Then stop doing it. Amen? Now you would think that would be just a no-brainer. But if I told my kids, listen, clean your room. Did they hear the words? I actually sometimes say that. I'll say, clean your room. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? And so I come home and it isn't clean. And I'll say, didn't I tell you to clean the room? Words. That's the measure. In other words, they knew what to do because I told them. They're supposed to do it because they love me. And they knew exactly what to do. You see, the motive for being obedient is love, but the measure is the Bible. Listen, what I'm trying to say is this. You cannot claim that you're obeying the Lord and that you love the Lord if the life you're living does not match up with what that Bible says. You cannot. You cannot live as in the world and be a part of the world and be worldly. You cannot do that and then tell me how much you love the Lord because you're not obeying God. Because the Bible says that we're not supposed to have fellowship with the world. The Bible says we're not supposed to be doing those things. The Bible says that we are to our bodies are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we're supposed to take care of our bodies, and we're not supposed to do those things that would displease the Lord. And so it's talking about obeying the Lord. Are you bringing your life in conformity to the Word of God? Is that what you're doing? May I tell you, if you're not this morning, if you're not obeying the Lord, if you know that Bible tells you that you ought not be doing something, you're doing it, and you refuse to stop it, You know what the Bible, you know what word the Bible uses for that? Rebellion. You say, well, rebellion ain't so bad. I mean, after all, it ain't up there with adultery or it ain't up there with murdering somebody. Oh, yes, it is bad. In fact, here's what it says in 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, isn't it a strange thing to have rebellion and stubbornness right there together? Do you want me to tell you why you rebel against God? Because you're stubborn. That's it. Well, how do I know that? Because God said, if you confess that sin, He's faithful and just to wash away that sin. Amen?
Right.
So you know you need to confess it, but you're just not going to do it because you're rebellious and because you're stubborn. And that's reading it says right here. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Let me ask you something. What do you think God feels about witchcraft? How do you think He feels about that? He says it's an abomination. You know what He says about idolatry? I tell you this, if you could go back and you could ask the children of Israel how God feels about idolatry, they'll tell you real quick that that's the reason they went into captivity, is because of idolatry. I'd say God looks down upon it quite a bit. So listen, if you think it's just a minor detail that you're not right in some area, that you're harboring sin, whatever area it may be, you may be doing all the other things right, but that one area you're not getting right with God on, and you think it's all right, God doesn't think it's all right. God looks at it as a rebellion. He looks at it as stubbornness. And it's worse than some of those other sins. It's witchcraft. He looks at it as being witchcraft. There may be some little thing that God's dealing with you this morning. Maybe He's telling you that you need to apologize to somebody you've done wrong. And you say, well, that's just a small thing. No, that's not a small thing when it comes to disobeying God. If He's laid your heart to do it, you need to do it. Maybe God's told you to do a certain thing and He's been laying it on your heart now for quite some time, but you haven't done it yet. And you say, oh, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. God says for rebellion is a sin is witchcraft. You see, the measure of obedience is the Word of God. If I'm not bringing my life in conformity with the Word of God, then I'm not obeying Him. And that's as a sin of witchcraft. The motive for my obedience is the love of God. The measure of my obedience is the Word of God. And some people, they look at their, you know, we look at the lives of some people. Everybody in this room knows of Christians today who are not living right. And if I were going out of town today and I were to pull some Christians and ask them, just how real is Jesus to you? You ever notice that a lot of Christians that say they're saved live as if Jesus isn't even real to them at all? I mean, you think about this. And I've given you this illustration hundreds of times, so why not 101? If Jesus right now were to just come walking into this room and you could see Him physically, would you act different? If He says, I'm going to be at your house tonight at 6 o'clock, would you have to go home early and prepare and get rid of a few things that you know you shouldn't have? And you say, oh, yes, yes. Then don't tell me how real Jesus is to you then. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. They don't know what that means? That means He's right there with you right now. And when you're out there doing those things you know you shouldn't be doing, He's right there with you while you're doing them. You can't hide from Him. He's right there. Is there something that you do during the week that you would not do if Jesus were standing right there with you? Is there an area in your life that you don't want Jesus to know anything about? How ridiculous is that? He's right there with you. Hey, listen, it isn't like He doesn't know it and you're trying to hide it from Him. He sees it every day. But yet you'll sit there and you'll say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Come on. If you really loved Him, you'd do what He tells you to do. You know good and well that what He's told you to do, the Bible tells you. He tells you what pleases the Lord. It tells you what doesn't please the Lord. He tells you these things. But yet, what do? We keep on harboring that sin. We keep on harboring it. To a lot of Christians today, Jesus is just not real to them. You say, well, I want Jesus to be real to me. Let me tell you how you do that. By starting to obey Jesus Christ. If you want Jesus to become more real to you, you need to start obeying Him. Look, if you would, at verse 21. Look what he says. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Now watch the next phrase. It says this. That's if you keep his commandments, he says, and will manifest myself to him. In other words, if you obey him, he'll manifest himself to you. If you'll obey Jesus Christ and you live according to the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, and you keep on reading it and learn more about him, and you do, and you're not just a hearer only, but a doer of the Word of God, and you actually do what it tells you to do, Jesus Christ will become more real to you than he's ever been. You know why? Because you'll start to read and you'll start to understand just who it is that's in you right now. Just who it is that you pray to. Just who it is that died on that cross. You see, sometimes we become so numb to Jesus Christ. We hear about him preached and we hear about him dying on the cross, and pretty soon we just think he's just a figment of our imagination. No, wait a second. He's God.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
Listen, the one who spoke this world into existence, yep, that's him. The one who's going to destroy it all with a consuming fire, yep, that's him. The one that's going to be coming back one of these days with the armies of heaven back to rule and reign on this earth, that's him. That's the one you pray to. That's the one that's inside you. That's the one that died on the cross for you. That's Jesus Christ. Now listen, if you're obeying him and you're reading about him and you're doing what the Bible tells you to do and your life is conformed to the way the Bible says you should live, you're going to start to get the idea of just who Jesus Christ really is. And boy, that's when you're really going to get close to him. Once you figure out who he is. I get so sick and tired when I hear Christians making jokes about Jesus Christ. And using his name in a joke, it just drives me crazy because they don't understand who they're talking about. Amen? I want Jesus to be real to me. You should want Jesus to be real to you. Now look what he says. Verse 23. Look at verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? In other words, he's saying, how is it you're going to make yourself real to us? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Fellowship. Amen? Jesus saying, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to dwell in your heart in such a real way that you know that you're going to know that I'm there. But you must keep my word. You must obey it. Have you ever wondered sometimes why you can't understand the Bible? I wonder that all the time, actually. But you know, sometimes I've noticed there are times that I could be reading a scripture and it's just a simple thing and all of a sudden I just don't understand it. Sometimes I'll pray and I feel like my prayers aren't making any further than the ceiling. You know what I found out? That if you'll get right with God, if you'll get rid of whatever it is in your life that shouldn't be there, that all of a sudden you'll start to understand more things in that Bible. And you'll start to notice that your prayers won't be stopped at that ceiling anymore. You see, it all comes down to obedience. The best way to understand the part of the Bible you don't understand is to obey the part that you do understand. Amen? And I'll tell you the reason why that is because if you really are interested in the Word of God and you really did love the Word of God and you really wanted to understand the Word of God, then you would do what the Word of God tells you to do. God's not going to tell you, God's not going to bless you with revelations, and he's not going to bless you with the teaching of the Word of God by giving you more understanding, and he's not going to give you more understanding of the Scriptures if you're not going to do something with what he's already revealed to you. You say, Lord, I want to learn more about you, but yet he's already told you where that sin is in your life, and you're not doing anything about it. What do you think he's going to do, give you more? No, he's not going to give you more until you take care of that. You can't love him. You can't love him on your own. You can't love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. You can't. The love of God is a mode of obedience. The measure of God is the word. The measure of obedience is the Word of God. But how are we supposed to? I mean, how? He says that we are supposed to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. But nobody here can say that they can do that. So how are we supposed to do it? Where does that strength come from? Look at that banner right there. You see that banner? It says, we just got this in like a couple weeks ago, and this is our theme for the year. Where do you find your strength? Our strength comes from God, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, let me tell you how you are to, the Bible says we're to love God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. How, you say, well, I can't do that. You're right, you can't do it on your own. You do it with His power. You say, I don't understand that. That's because He's not real to you. You think that, you know what, you remember that one time when Jesus had the disciples and He said this. He said, now you stay here and you keep watch and I'm going to go over here and pray. And He goes over to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And He comes back, and what did He find? A bunch of sleeping disciples. Laying all over the place sleeping. And He said, what, you couldn't watch just for a little bit? And He wakes up. You know what Jesus said? The spirit is willing, but what did He say? The flesh is what? Weak. That's the reason you can't love God with everything that you've got. That's the reason you can't serve God the way He wants you to serve Him. You can't under your own power. Why? Because your flesh is weak.
That's right.
You say, I don't want to have all these, you know, have these little areas where I have sin in my life. No, that's right. And you're not going to, I mean, you're always going to have those areas as long as you try to live with your own power. But your flesh is weak. God's given you real power to do it. You can love God the way He wants you to love Him. You can obey that Bible the way He wants you to do it, but you've got to do it under His power. So I'm just going to ask you this morning. Now listen, we know that the motive of obedience this morning is how much you love God. We know that the measure of obedience is found right there in your Bible. If you want to know what you're supposed to do to honor Him and please Him, it's right there in the Scriptures. Read it. And when that Bible says that there's sin in your life and puts its finger on your chest and says, thou art the man, if you love God, you know what you would do? You'd say, Lord, I love You so much, I don't want to displease You. Lord, I've sinned here, forgive me of that sin. But I'm just going to go out on a limb this morning and say that there's somebody in this room that probably won't do that this morning. Somebody in this room will tell others about how much they love Jesus and how great Jesus is, but they'll leave here this morning knowing that there is a sin in a part of their life that they've not taken care of. The Lord has already revealed to them what that sin is. They know. They've read it in the Bible. They know that it's wrong. The Holy Spirit on the inside of them has already convicted them and said, hey, you ought not be doing this thing. Why are you doing this thing? You need to get right. But yet, you'll sit right here and you won't take care of it at all. He's given you the power to take care of it. He's given you the Bible to tell you that the sin's there. And boy, He's given you a lot of grace. A lot of grace. How much do you really love the Lord this morning? Do you love Him enough to confess that sin and get back in fellowship with Him? Do you love Him that much? If you're not saved here this morning, do you realize you have a Savior that loved you first? Listen, when He went to that cross, He died for the sins of everyone. But here's the deal. You've got to believe that He died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And you've got to call upon Him for salvation. Because, listen, He didn't save everybody when He died on the cross. He saved those who would believe. Either you believe or you don't. Will you obey Him this morning? He loved you first. He loved you an awful lot to get on that cross to die for you. He didn't have to. He is, after all, God manifest in the flesh. He didn't even have to come down to this earth, but He did because He loved you. Will you call upon Him this morning? And Christian, this morning, if you really love the Lord, will you take care of that sin, whatever it is, whatever part of the life that you know it's in, will you take care of it and show Him how much you actually love Him by doing what He tells you to do? Let's stand.